If you were to break the rules, the regulations, could it cost you your job? Joining us to talk about this is our friend and Canada's top employment lawyer. His name is Howard Levitt. Levitt, Shake, Chaudhry and Swan Employment and Labor Lawyers. Welcome back, Mr. Levitt.
Well, thank you, Barb.
How many friends of yours call you Mr. Levitt?
None.
Okay. Well, I won't do it again. How are things going with you?
Pretty well. I'm finishing my quarantine.
Good. It's a quiet place, isn't it, in quarantine?
You can't even walk out of your room.
I know.
And I, of course, as a lawyer, there's real consequences if you breach it, like being disbarred. So no,
really?
You can't do anything. Yes.
You could face disbarment.
Sure, you break the law. I don't know that I would be disbarred.
Maybe no, you don't want to take a chance.
Yeah. You don't want to take a chance. Or public embarrassment.
Since
I speak on the subject so much, I can't be seen to breach the rules.
Of course, absolutely. And I know that you would never do that. But we also know there are a lot of people out there who are doing that, who may look at today's announcement and say, whatever, and just keep doing their thing. We hear a third of us are not following the rules and the regulations. So I really believe it is going to come down to enforcement this time. Otherwise, you've lost people. They're just not going to take you seriously if you don't follow through on the threat to charge people who are not doing the stay-at-home thing.
And people are sick of it. They're really sick of it. And to go back into further lockdown, I think there's going to be a lot of resistance first time around because there's no real end in sight in Canada. So it's going to be a real tussle this time in a way that there wasn't last time.
Yeah, I think a lot of the thing about last time was people were scared. And in many ways,
yes,
people who should still be scared, cautious, whatever. But I think a lot of that is worn off for people. If someone were to be out when they're not supposed to, do social gatherings when they're not supposed to, let's talk about this from whether they're doing it and you find out, or they're doing it and they get charged and you find out. As an employer, is that grounds to fire someone?
Or they do it and someone else catches them on social media and you find out, because their cameras are ubiquitous.
Right.
So you are going to find out. There's at least a good chance of it now. People who you think are your friends may end up sending it to somebody else who sent it to somebody else and to somebody who's not your friend in any sense of the word, and all of a sudden you're in front of your employer. It depends. If a technical violation of the rules may not matter for most people in terms of costing their job, but if you're a senior officer of the company or even somebody advocating the rules, you're the person enforcing the rules, you're that person in the company, it would clearly be cause for discharge. Or if you're wanton and careless and negligent, you go to some big rave or some big party and just don't care about social. Look, if they see you on the street, you're within 3-6 feet of somebody, that's not going to get you fired. But if you go to a big party and therefore risk that and then bring it into the workplace, that's cause to fire you.
Sure, I understand for sure. If you bring it into the workplace, absolutely. If you've been breaking the rules, I get that. But we look at the example of the CEO who was let go from the hospital and is getting the $1 million severance. So it wasn't with cause, was it? Or for cause?
It wasn't alleged to be for cause. Look, Rod Phillips, there's first of all the instance that he was preaching, and the government was preaching, that he was a cabinet minister for, you don't leave the country if it's not essential. And he's part of the image of that government. But then you couple that with the deception, dishonesty, where he's pretending to be in Canada and issuing pictures daily as if he was still here. That was more serious than leaving the country. So clearly that's cause. If a hospital CEO leaves the country, look, it's not against the law. They recommend non-essential travel, but it's not illegal to do it.
Right.
District, except he was also on these various committees in which they were making recommendations to the province to keep it shut down and to prohibit non-essential travel. So that would have been a problem for him, except he told his boss in advance, as I understand it. They said, okay, or at least they didn't say don't go. So they can't then turn around and fire him for something they knew about and condoned. That's why they have no case. That's why they allege no cause. But given it's taxpayer money, If there's no case, why pay $1 million of taxpayer money to this guy? Why don't you just give him a strong, solid warning? If you do it again or anything like that, you will be fired for cause, and save $1 million.
Right, because now you got to find someone to replace him, which is going to be $600,000 a year.
Sure, it's $1 million for him and $600,000 for somebody else, and recruitment fees of $150,000 more, and somebody who's just learning on the job, because you're not going to know that particular job. Only the incumbent ever knows that particular job, especially at that level. So it's not going to be $1 million. It's going to be close to $2 million when it's all added up. And all they had to do was give him a warning. People won't be outraged about what he did, but if they don't have a case for cause, and it's the kind of thing that a warning will resolve, why fire him and pay him 2 years' pay?
You know, the other thing, too, is people forget so quickly, don't they? The news cycle moves so quickly that I think within a week or two, it's on to something else that everybody's talking about. But what if the, I don't know, just any employer finds out that one of the employees went to a social gathering that they weren't supposed to go to? Is that, I don't know, where would you stand with that? Maybe they got charged for going. Does that affect their employment?
Well, it does. If you're being, if you're someone who's working in the workplace, coming in with your other people, and you're going to some significant social gathering with lots of people, and assuming the company has a policy saying, don't do this.
Okay.
We expect you not to do this, and you do it, in my view, that's cause for your dismissal.
Really?
Yes.
Should most companies be putting notes out there saying, hey, according to the most recent guidelines, we expect that everybody is going to follow them, and if not, you could be fired?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely right.
Okay. And let me ask you one final question before we have to go. I know that, I'm just trying to find the wording. They want people who can work from home to work from home if possible. How does that affect you?
It doesn't. People are coming to the office. Look, it's like what we discussed earlier. If you weren't a government official who's advocating against non-essential travel, if you weren't someone in a position of authority who's advocating these things, it's not against the law to travel. So the government can recommend people work from home all they like, but that's not the law. And at the end of the day, I'm a business person, and my productivity went down 35% when people worked from home. We're going to put in all kinds of safety mechanisms in the office and already have, and people are still going to have to come to the office in my case.
Okay.
If that's what you're asking me.
Yeah, that is what I'm asking, and I just want to read this restriction to you and just ask if that all businesses must ensure that any employee who can work from home does so. Is that a loose regulation?
Well, I'd have to read the actual legislation if that's
okay.
If that's just something that, in my view, secretaries certainly can't work from home because they have to be interacting with the lawyer and getting typing from them and returning things and getting things from files, and that's their job.
Okay.
It's not something they can do from home. When they did work from home, they were frankly of no value to me. In terms of lawyers, they can work from home, but not as productively. So I'd have to read the actual regulation and see if it's legislative and if that's the law, in which case I'm going to have to reconsider. Because last time around, they simply said, here are essential services, law being one of them. They were allowed to work in the office. Now, I don't know any other law firm than mine that is working at the office. And I view that as a competitive advantage.
Okay.
And we all have a better time of it because you're interacting with people from a distance with masks. But we're exchanging ideas regularly. And part of the horrible thing that COVID has brought is been social isolation, which has caused tremendous damage to people's mental health.
For sure. We're going to talk about that later on this hour. Howard Levitt, always great to have you on. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, Barb.
Canada's top employment lawyer, Howard Levitt, Levitt, Shake, Chaudhry & Swan Employment and Labor Lawyers. He'll be back with us Thursday at 8:30 for a half hour. He joins Jerry Acar every morning at 10 a.m. And you can hear him on employment law Sundays at 1.